Welcome back to the Long Two podcast with me, Tims, and my co-host, Barn. You doing all right this week, mate?
Tims, I'm all good, thanks. Yeah, you too?
I'm all good, thanks. And even better, because it's an exciting week for us on the Long Two, because we introduce, for the first time on show, our intro song. Are you excited, Barn?
Tims, I think it's brilliant. Yeah, I think it's brilliant. And big shout out to Beaver and Leaf Dog on the production. Been a big fan of theirs for many years, so it's lovely to get them on side and use it for our podcast.
I thought it sounded great as well, and I think even better now we can introduce it fully this week. So yeah, a big thank you and shout out to those guys. But Barn, you've caused some controversy on social media again this week with the now infamous Under Armour Blazer Duo. Have you gone for it again this week?
Tims, I have to let the side down here. I've got a normal t-shirt on this week. We filmed on Wednesday evening last week, which I play six aside, which you joined us for this week, Tims. It was great fun, wasn't it?
It was great. It was great. I got a few goals. It was a good week. We got the win as well, didn't we? So yeah. Can't complain too much.
No, I think it's Brad Jones who enjoys the Under Armour Blazer combo. If we film on a Wednesday, it's always there. But yeah, not this week, I'm afraid.
Apologies to Brad, if you're listening this week. But Barn, it's been a big week of basketball. Have you been managing to watch much this week?
I've done okay, Tims. Mate, compared to the last few weeks, I've probably watched a bit less than usual, just busy life-wise. But I've been keeping in touch with what I've wanted to. Yeah, what about you, sir?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been enjoying it this week as well. Been getting a bit hooked on the Australian Open tennis, actually, which has distracted me. But apart from that, we actually had the first of two Paris games last night. San Antonio Spurs taking on the Indiana Pacers in both of those games. And wow, I mean, it was obviously a homecoming for Victor Wembanyama. Back to the same stadium he played in a couple of years ago before he was drafted. You can't really write it. He had a crazy game, Barn. He had an absolutely crazy game. Did you manage to watch it live?
No, I didn't manage to watch it live. I know you and your brother were. I managed to watch the highlights as soon as it ended. And you were keeping me updated the whole time anyway, Tims, weren't you? I think it was that stretch at the end of the third quarter. You were getting more and more pissed off that I wasn't watching.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, Wembanyama absolutely took over that third quarter. Highlight plays after highlight plays. It was like a highlight 3 minutes, really. But yeah, like you say, I was watching live with my brother, who is actually a San Antonio Spurs fan. So, Barn, shall we bring him on?
Get him in, Tims. Get him in to tell us about the game.
Let's do it.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
That's all right, George. George, Tims, my brother, on for today. Our resident San Antonio Spurs expert here at the Long Two. Did you enjoy watching yesterday's game?
It was, I think, if not the best Spurs game I've watched this season, because everything was clicking last night, especially on the offensive end. And obviously, Wemby wanted to show out in Paris in front of the home crowd. But wow, it was a complete performance, I think. I mean, the Pacers weren't quite their best, but...
George, lovely to have you on, by the way. I'm very happy that you are our first guest on here. Always a treat talking to you. George, obviously, Wemby was unbelievable. Me and your brother touched on his third quarter heroics in the last couple of minutes. What do you think is this man's ceiling, George?
Well, I said to Joe, I think, after he did that, I said, can you imagine when he's doing this in the finals or something like that? Because, I mean, our record at this sort of the halfway point of the season last year, I think, had about 7 wins, and I mean, we're just below 500 at the moment. So it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be long until he's in the playoffs doing this sort of thing, you know. I mean, the Pacers, I can't remember if Miles Turner was in the game at that point, but I think their interior defense isn't maybe, you know, the elite level of the NBA like you would maybe be meeting in the conference finals. But it's hard to know what his ceiling is. I mean, I can't say really, because the way that he's approached his 3-point game this year, even after last year, sort of a revolutionary step, I think, for someone of his size and ability. So going into next year, he might pull out another core skill in his game that he doesn't have now. And it's just, it's hard to know really where he can take the team.
Yeah. And you mentioned his 3-point shooting there. That's a hot topic here on the Long Two, because I mean, watching it yesterday, he was pump faking and everyone was biting on his threes, right? But Barn, you hate it when a big man shoots a lot of threes. So what's your take?
Tims, you know I've come round to Wemby though. Mate, he's shooting at quite a high clip. I think, I say quite a high clip. I still think he should take less, obviously. He's bloody 7'4", attack the rim. But he has a nice variety of offensive weapons. And, I mean, George, like you said, if he can get that three-point percentage up and keep that for the career, if he can do that by the end of this season, solidly, then who's to know what he can learn in the coming seasons? Yeah, that'll be really, really impressive. And I was just thinking, George, the key probably to wearing Wemby down, you have to hit him on both ends. Otherwise, he's going to be way too strong on either. And Siakam, obviously, Tim's, you know him well. He's a beast when he wants to be. And he shot pretty well last night, but he just didn't take that many, looking at the stat sheet now.
The thing is, Sohan would normally start when he's healthy, and it was his first game back after a few games injured yesterday.
Sure.
So we were playing smaller than normal with Castle in the starting lineup instead of him. And the thing is, Wemby, quite a few of his blocks aren't sort of on the ball. They're sort of coming on the weak side, able to just pin it against the backboard when he shouldn't be able to reach it, and that sort of thing. So that is a thing that I think I said to you during the game as well, though, that his conditioning actually is an area I think could be improved, because he doesn't play the most minutes for the Spurs, even though he's our best player, and I think part of it is a protective measure at this point of his career, and it's not an NBA Finals game
or
maximum amount of minutes or something like that, but he does get gassed quite quickly, actually. So I think that is quite a good point. I know he's sort of able to go for these blocks and make them, but there's kind of a new area for his ceiling to go to if he can be fit for longer, I think, because especially on the offensive end, I think some of the threes that he's taking, he might take them because he's not able to drive by to the rim on every possession. That sort of things.
I hadn't thought that, George, because also last night when I was watching the highlights, that guy pulls up from anywhere as well. He's got complete carry range. He can pull up from the logo, no problem at all, can't he?
The Pacers, like you say, they were sort of biting on some of the threes. I mean, I was thinking, why are they jumping on? He's a couple of feet behind the 3-point line, even, and
yeah,
he just had them sort of jumping when.
That's the value of the three,
exactly,
right? And he hit three of his first four, and then they were like, right, we need to get out on him properly now, and stepped up above the 3-point line. And if you're jumping on those, you're in big trouble. But also, Barn, talking about the defensive end, which you mentioned there, I mean, Wemby, he can just kind of float and guard two players at the same time because he's so big in the paint. He's guarding one man on the other side of the paint and he can just come across and pin it against the backboard, like you say, George. But I'm also thinking about a quote from, the commentator mentioned it from Bill Russell, saying it's not the shots I did block, it's the shots I didn't need to block because the players are too scared to go up in the paint with him.
Yeah, sure.
And even yesterday, I mean, you mentioned Siakam, Barn. He only took 10 shots.
Yeah.
But there were plenty of times he drove into the paint and just pulled out again because Wemby was hanging out in there. So, yeah, it's also the stats that are not recorded. But
There was one of TJ McConnell going inside and he tried to shoot it over Wemby for some reason. And
right, just got absolutely stomped on, Jordan.
Yeah. But just go back to the three-point aspect. The reason I think partly that he's shooting so many is because the Spurs don't have many good three-point shooters. Barnes lives in the corner, hits a few threes a game. Champagne, when he's on, is money from three. But we need more shooters to be a competitive team, I think. Castle's not the best shooter yet, which hopefully will develop. Vassell can shoot from the outside. But, once we have more consistent three-point shooting, I think there will be a bit more of a balance, probably, with Wemby going inside a bit more when there's better perimeter shooters to play around him.
Yeah, sure. George, me and your brother have touched on this in previous episodes. Do you think the Spurs will make a move this season to try and make the playoffs? Or do you think they're going to wait till next season when he's now played a couple of seasons, he's a bona fide star. What do you think? Do you think you'll make a move this season or next?
I think despite, let's say, his impatience to sort of get to the playoffs and be competitive, I think it's unlikely, to be honest. Just going on the Spurs history, I think it's a bit of an anomaly to go for an in-season trade for sort of short-term gain. But I think there are moves to be made. I sort of have question marks about Keldon Johnson, for example, about his long-term future on the team. He's got 2 years left on his contract. But since his sort of second, third, fourth years in the league, he hasn't really taken the next steps to be a sort of core member of a title team, I think. And we have a few picks from, DeJounte Murray trade and that sort of thing that we could put into a package to make a bit of a move for, yeah, maybe another wing that's better defensively than Cowden and more of a consistent three-point shooter. But I still don't think it's likely, even if we're hovering around the sort of play-in mark around the 9 or 10 seed or just below the 11 seed, that would be a likely move. So maybe in the off-season, but I think it's just more of a long-term project, to be honest.
I have one final topic of discussion. Spurs, they're currently the 12 seed in the West, 20-22, like you say, George, just under 500. They're 4-6 in their last 10. Can they make the playoffs this season? Because I know the bookies have them as a real outsider because of obviously the Warriors, the Suns, Kings, T-Wolves and your Mavs barn are all in those playing spots right now. They're going to have to beat some big names to get in. Do they have a chance this season or is it just a year too early, do you guys think?
I know that we're only a couple of games back or 1.5 games back from the Suns, who are the 10 seed at the moment, but it would take an increase in consistency, I think, somehow in the second half of the season for us to make a run at that. So I think we can do it. I think it's probably more unlikely than likely, though, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, George, I completely agree with you, actually. I think that the top 8 spots at the moment, in no particular order, will end up being the 8 who go through to the playoffs, in all honesty with you. I know that's heartbreak for the Suns, but I just can't see them doing it. The Kings has played themselves into shape this season. My Mavs, obviously, really strange. We've been plagued with injuries, beating stupidly good teams, losing to shite teams. So I don't think there's space for the Spurs this season. No, I do tend to agree with you, George. Obviously, I would absolutely love it if you made that play-in spot. If the Wolves drop down, you guys filled that spot. Oh, wow, it'd be so exciting to see Wemby in a game that matters, basically, not just a normal reg season game. Oh, it'd be exciting to see, wouldn't it, George, even if you didn't come out on top?
I mean, a bit like Paris, where it's just has that element of mattering a bit more than a regular season game. I think a play-in game isn't quite the playoffs, but it's still, I think it's a level above even playing in Paris for Wemby. You know, he'll be like, right, this is it for me now. I'm going to make my mark at the deep end of the NBA, you know?
Yeah, of course it is. Tims, did you mention earlier there's another game in Paris? A back-to-back Spurs-Pacers?
Absolutely. Is it tomorrow night, George, as we're recording, Saturday night?
Tomorrow night, and again, a very watchable time for us. I mean, if it goes as well as last night, then happy days. But, I mean, I'm sure there'll be adjustments to be made on both sides. But I'm looking forward to it a lot.
Yeah.
So am I now. Yeah, I thought it was just the one.
Yeah. Pacers are 8-2 in the last 10. They've been on fire. And I think they'll come out wanting revenge. So I think it will be a great game. Let's hope so.
Well, last night was technically a Pacers home game, so I kind of feel bad for them that's the sort of atmosphere that they had to deal with as a home game. So it's actually a Spurs home game tomorrow night. So yeah, hopefully it'll be even more support behind Wemby.
Yeah, it'll be great. Are we expecting he had 30, 11, 6 and 5 in the last one. Are we expecting a 50-piece? Are we expecting a triple, dare I say it, quad dub? I'm watching eagerly because, you know, like say, we've never seen him like we would in the play-in, in that one-off game where it matters more than anything. And this is the closest he's come to that in his career so far. So, hey, I'm ready for a big stat line.
Yeah, me too. And, like, I was watching the stats. Tims, you were keeping me updated. He could have shot double the amount of shots, it seemed like, especially when I watched the highlights as well. So there's nothing stopping him from getting a 50-piece if he wants it.
I mean, he can. I think he's capable of getting a triple-double, not only with blocks, but with, I'm sure he'll get one with assists at some point in his career, because I think it's an aspect of his game that I think has been underrated, and people are beginning to recognise that actually some of these assists, whether it's throwing lobs to Steph Castle you know, even just on the break, he's got all these creative passes, just one-handers that many big men aren't able to make. Whether it's a quad-double one day or triple-double with assists or blocks, I think he's got it all to come.
Exciting times, boys.
Yeah, he's already had in his career 2 games with 10 or more assists and two games with 10 or more blocks as well. So it says to me, the quad dub one day is there. I'll say it now. He's going to be the first player in NBA history to get that quad double. Yeah. I can't wait for it.
Tims, I swear David Robinson's had a quad dub before.
Has he?
Yeah, Tim's David Robinson did have a quadruple double. 34 yeah. points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, 10 blocks.
He was at the game last night in Paris. So if he's there again on Saturday, that would be the man for Wemby to do it in front of, as well as the home crowd.
Yeah, and what a man to be listed on the side of as well. The Admiral, one of the best centres of all time. So,
And you know what? Now that I think about it, he's probably going to be coming into Saturday's game with a bit of a vengeance, I think, because of the All-Star voting, which I think you guys might come on to today. The bias view from the Spurs fans is that he's been snubbed in the starting lineup by KD for the All-Star game. But I think actually a lot of other people around the NBA could think that as well. But I think that the way that averages worked out just favoured Durant. But yeah, he's going to be thinking he should have been in that starting lineup, I think. So maybe he'll come out with fire in his belly tomorrow as well.
We shall see. Right, George, absolute pleasure to have you on. As our Spurs correspondent, I hope we have you on in the coming weeks as well.
Well, yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Honour to be the first guest. And yeah, here's to our future Wemby discussions when he's even better than he is now.
So, from one rising centre to a bona fide star of the league already, Barn, of course, talking about Nikola Jokic. He had, I think, one of the most absurd stat lines I've seen ever following the NBA. He had 35 points, 22 rebounds to go with 17 assists against the Kings just yesterday. Did you see any of this, Barn?
I watched the highlights, Tim. My God, the Joker was just feasting, wasn't he? He had every single Kings player in his back pocket. It didn't matter who they put on him. He was just feasting. And when you get that many rebounds against Domas, Tim, you just don't see it, mate. You just do not see it. Absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And this just solidifies his case for MVP, doesn't it? Here's everyone saying that SGA's running away with it. I know you think SGA might win it, Tim. So you're not quite as passionate as others. You take it with a non-biased view, I would say. But, God, he's the best player in the world, isn't he?
Barn, this is the week. My mind has changed. Nikola Jokic is going to win the MVP this season. I'm telling you now. I'm on board the Jokic train for sure. I mean,
good man.
Yeah, at last I've made it there with you and it feels good. I can't believe the odds now. The odds are so in Shea's favour, but I really don't see it that way. Jokic's stats this season, just to reiterate, 30.1 points a game, 13.2 rebounds to go with 9.9 assists. He's going to average a triple-double. I'm sure he will. The record's getting there for the Nuggets as well. That was the big point earlier this season. They're in the play-in spots. Now they're well in the playoff spots and looking well above 500. I think they have a good chance of taking the 2 seed, actually, by the end of the season. But like I say, Barn, Jokic for me is the MVP this year. And I actually did some maths. He's obviously got 3 MVP awards already. And if you take his averages from those 3 MVP seasons, he averaged 26 points, 12 rebounds, 8.5 assists. This season, he's averaging 3.5 more points, 1 rebound extra, and 1.5 more assists per game than his 3 MVP seasons on average. I mean, he's playing by far the best basketball of his entire career. He has to be the MVP this year.
Ah, oh, Tims, I knew you'd come around, mate. I knew you'd come around. Also, what I didn't realise, someone actually pointed out on our TikTok that Jokic is averaging almost 2 steals this year as well, Tim. He's 3rd in steals for the entire league. And like you said, Nuggets have won 8 of their last 9 now. You can really see them surging. I would struggle to not see them at least at the 3 seed. Come the end of the season. Yeah, no, it's great, Tim. They're one of my favourite teams in the league at the moment. It's great.
Yeah, they are a great watch, Barn. And it wasn't long ago that we were saying they need to make a trade. I mean, Michael Porter Jr. was really in the rumour mill, wasn't he? They were going to flip him, apparently. But now they seem to have a good team with Westbrook and Jokic really gelling, as you say. Murray's had a few big games last few weeks as well. And yeah, I like their playoff chances more and more as time goes by. Just coming back to that Kings game, Jokic, his 35 points and 17 assists, he was responsible for 79 points a single game. Just unbelievable, Barn. I can't get over it.
That is absolutely ridiculous, Tim. It's absolutely ridiculous. But mate, me especially, I was coming for Michael Porter Jr.'s head. I thought they had to get rid of him. They had to get Zach LaVine at least to be in with a chance of contention. But no, yeah, Murray's played himself into shape as well, hasn't he? He must be threatened by Westbrook starting. I saw a stat. I think of the has Westbrook started something like 18 games and they're 13-5? Don't quote me on that, but it's pretty close. What healthy competition to have when you're then going to have two guys playing as well as they possibly can. Westbrook is the former MVP. I still think Russ is one of the best players ever, at least one of the most exciting players of my childhood to watch. And Murray, yeah, watching him play like this in the reg season is nice. Usually it's just come playoff time he comes alive. But this is, nice to see, Tim. It's nice to see.
Really is. And I know I talk about it every week, but I've obviously checked the B-ball ref MVP tracker again, Barn. Jokic, yeah. I think he was in the late 50% last week to win MVP. Currently 63%.
Well,
I mean, I really am on board now. I think Jokic is going to be the MVP this year. I think voter fatigue is a great saying, which you mentioned last week, is such a real thing. People want a new MVP, but Jokic is, as you say, the definition of the most valuable player in the NBA right now. One thing I do want to mention quickly about the Nuggets season, obviously they're now in a bit of a tussle with the Grizzlies and the Rockets for the 2, 3, and 4 seeds. And they actually play those two teams in the final two regular season games of the entire season. They're home to Memphis and away in Houston against the Rockets. They could be some spicy games if it remains this close.
God, they really could, Tims. Yeah, they really could. Mate, the Rockets beat the Cavs the other night, didn't they? The Cavs didn't shoot particularly well, but the Rockets took advantage and they squeezed out the one-point win. Tims, we don't talk about the Grizzlies much at all. What do you think? They're obviously going to make the playoffs. There's no point talking about that. But what do you think their chances are come playoff time?
It's a tricky one because I think they're a great regular season team, but I don't know if they're as good a playoff team as they are in the regular season. Don't get me wrong. I think they've got a great chance of getting to at least the second round, conference finals maybe, but can't see them really challenging the Thunder. The Rockets get stronger every day in my mind, and the Nuggets, we've mentioned them as well. There's so many threats further down in the Western Conference as well, Barn. You never know. The Lakers could string a few games together in the playoffs. Suns, all manner of teams could do that. Your Mavs, of course, as well, when Luka and Kyrie are back fully fit, hopefully, this season. So I think they obviously are going to have home advantage in the first round, and that's going to be big for them because the West is just so deep. Yeah, I just think it's so difficult in the West right now.
Yeah, it really is. No, I can't see them getting that far in the playoffs either, Tims. Well, we say this until suddenly they prove themselves, and maybe this is the year they prove themselves. Who knows? I can't quite see it this year. It's just so star-studded, that West. I'm just looking at it now. It's disgusting, isn't it?
Absolutely, it's a crazy conference.
really silly.
Yeah. It's such a crazy conference that, as George mentioned earlier, Wemby didn't even make the All-Star starters, Barn, which were released yesterday, I think, at the time of recording.
Yeah.
What do you make of the All-Star starters this season? When is the All-Star game? Can't be too far away now. 17th of Feb, the All-Star game.
Oh, wow. Okay. God, that's way earlier than I thought.
2 weeks away, really, from All-Star break.
Yeah, sure.
And it's at Chase Center, by the way, just FYI.
Ah, okay, gotcha. I should really know this by now. But tell me exactly how the starters are chosen.
There's the fan voting. And obviously they're then ranks 1 through 8. I think the top 8 get points based on the fan voting. The media vote and the players vote as well. And then there's a combined score based on those three. And basically, I think it's weighted, so there's more weight with one of those votes. I'm not sure which. Okay. But anyway, it's those three votes combined to choose the starters, essentially.
Yeah. No, sorry, Tims. I understand that part. And then it's just two guards and three forwards. Is that what happens? Okay,
absolutely.
Fair enough. So because Jokic is a starter, that does not mean that Wemby can't be. Wemby could also be one of the forwards. It doesn't matter that there's two centres, that's just that.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay, I get it now. Okay. Then I do know, I do believe that Wemby might have been snubbed, Tims. Mate, you always have someone getting snubbed in the All-Star game, whether it's a starter or being an All-Star themselves. It's a popularity contest at the end of the day. Obviously, with the players involved, then less of a popularity contest and more of who's playing well. If I remember in recent years looking at who the players have voted for, and it's a lot more who's actually been playing better this season rather than... the fact that Steph Curry is an All-Star starter this year, I don't hate it, but I don't actually think necessarily anyone has been snubbed from that spot, but yeah, does Curry deserve it this year? It seems I'm not sure he does, mate. It's a difficult one.
It's in the Bay, mate. It's at his home stadium. He has to be a starter.
Fair enough. And yeah, no, I'm not having a go at it. Curry's obviously a big name, gets the crowd in. It's exactly what All-Star is all about. Your brother was talking about KD making it again. Yeah, KD, does he deserve it this season? Probably not. He probably doesn't. But he's Kevin Durant. Like, you're getting to watch Steph, LeBron, Durant and Jokic on the same team with SGA as well. What's your opinion on it, mate?
I don't disagree with you. It's a popularity contest at the end of the day. I think Wemby deserves it over KD. But I also think it doesn't really matter. He's going to get an All-Star spot anyway. The whole All-Star weekend is... It's not what it used to be, I don't think. I think there used to be more hype around it. I remember getting up early here in the UK to watch the Zach LaVine, Aaron Gordon dunk contest. Oh. Like, and I almost couldn't sleep at night the night before. You know what I mean? But there's not the hype around it at all that there used to be. Same for the All-Star game. I mean, I saw a Barack Obama quote talking about this, saying the All-Star game is a joke. It is a joke. Obviously, you don't want a player to get hurt in the All-Star game. I get that. And everyone's there to have fun. But it's not a real game, is it? And they've tried a new format this year. I'm not exactly sure what it is. There's four teams involved, I think.
Oh, I forgot about this. Yeah.
Yeah. So to be honest, mate, I don't really care. I think Wemby should have been a starter, but it doesn't matter at the end of the day. And I don't think he'll care too much either.
No. Yeah. It's probably not that fun to play in either, Tim. So like nowadays, is it? I'm just looking at the East starters now as well. So we've got Brunson, Donovan Mitchell in the front court. What am I on about? And then Giannis Tatum and Karl Anthony Towns in the front court. I actually think that's pretty perfect. Would you throw Darius Garland in there or something?
Well, exactly. I think Garland. I think the spot of Mitchell could have gone to Garland.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been almost just as good, I would say, that this start of the season, just as impactful anyway for the Cavs. Bono's had a bit of a poor shooting slump. But yeah, I think it's fine. I think I want to see Cade there in the reserves. That's what I'm really looking out for, Barn. Also, Trae Young as well. I think he's having a brilliant season. I doubted him earlier this season in one of our first podcasts, I remember. But he's had a great year, again, really, offensively, anyway.
Yeah, he has to be involved. Yeah. But like you say, Tim, who gives a shit? The main thing nowadays is, you know, like when someone retires, or like LeBron is a 20-time All-Star, yeah? Or to now 21-time All-Star, maybe? Can't remember.
21.
21, there we go.
Crazy.
that's all that gets remembered at the end of your career, isn't it? So you want to be an All-Star for the accolade, but actually you don't give a shit about actually being one that year, if that makes sense. And maybe I'm wrong, but I think that's probably what goes through the players' heads. Yeah. Tims, mate, I want to touch on my new adopted team this week, the Magic. Now, Magic had Franz Wagner back for the first time last night, and he got a nice little 20-pointer. He shot okay, 9 for 19. Paolo Banchero, oh dear. My guy Paolo, he's been struggling the past few games, Sims. Mate, 8 points last night on 1-14 in a loss to the Blazers. Yeah, not enjoyable whatsoever. And he had a 10-point game a couple of games ago. He just hasn't been shooting that well, Tims. Last week I was really excited because he hadn't been playing many minutes, but he was playing great in those minutes. He's playing really well. And that just has not carried on to this week, I'm afraid. 8 points last game. He got 26 against your Raptors, but in a loss. And he played 32 minutes. They've been creeping up, and you just can't afford to let that happen, really. And no offence, Tims, but can't afford to let that happen against a team like the Raptors. And they're dropping now. They're really dropping. So Franz has come back at the perfect time, but Paolo needs to perform as well. Mate, they've lost 5 in a row. They've dropped down to the 7th seed. I'm worried, Tims, for my Magic. I don't really know what they're gonna do. Paolo has to come out firing, and I'm slightly scared.
Yeah, I mean, you made some bold claims about Paolo as well not too long ago. I don't think it's unfair to say he hasn't lived up to them just yet in his return. But yeah, they, like you say, they're plummeting that in the standings, in the playing spots now. They look sure to make the playoffs. They're behind the Pistons suddenly. Yeah, this 5-game losing streak they're on, they've been dire. They've lost every game by more than 10. Got destroyed by my Raptors. We beat them by 16. And they scored 79 points against the Blazers, Barn, in that one where Banchero shot and only made one field goal. It's a horrid time for them. They need to turn it around ASAP. And yeah, you haven't given them much luck since you've become an adopted Magic fan. That's for sure.
Do you think I've jinxed them, Tim?
It looks that way, doesn't it?
I hopped on the Magic bandwagon and I got punished for it. Yeah. I'm really hoping they can come back. Hey. But yeah, your Raptors have been stringing a couple of wins together in the past week, haven't they?
Absolutely. We're 4 wins from our last 5. We've beaten the Celtics in that time, the Hawks, obviously the Magic you mentioned, Warriors as well. Yeah, we're just playing some nice team basketball. I mean, no one's going off for 30 points at all. But Scotty is really settling into the season now. He's had some time back from injury at the beginning of the year. We're winning some games. It's nice to see. I mean, we're still on for the Cooper Flagg tank, of course.
Good
to have some positivity around Toronto Raptors.
Big scalps as well. Celtics were at full strength as well, were they not? KP was playing, I believe.
Yeah, KP, Tatum was playing.
Jaylen Brown, Drew. Yeah, they had their full starting five out, and you took them to the cleaners. But also happy that you're still tanking, because there's no point just being an averagely bad team. You may as well be crap.
Exactly. So yeah, it's been good to see Scotty developing, RJ developing. I wish Quickly would stay healthy this year. He's had a torrid year with injuries. One thing to watch for the Raptors, Barn, is Chris Boucher. He's had some big games lately. He scored 15, 17, 20 point games lately. But among the Raptors fans, we are almost certain that he is going to be flipped by the deadline for a pick of some sort. And if he can put more big games together, I mean, he can really be a spark off the bench. He's quite inconsistent, of course, but when he's on, he's almost unstoppable offensively, grabbing offensive rebounds, shooting threes. He can get really hot. So I think for a contender, I would be definitely monitoring him. And if we can get, a first round of him, we'll definitely take it, I'm sure. But even a couple of seconds, we might flip Chris Boucher. So that's one thing to watch out for from the Raptors in the upcoming weeks.
Yeah, will you be sad about that, Tim, to see him go? Or do you think that's the right thing to do in your rebuilding process?
I would be sad. I'd be really sad, but it's the right thing to do. The right thing to do for sure. If we can get a couple picks for him, that'd be great. Yeah, he's in his 30s now as well. He's been a Raptor for a long time.
We've had him for a good 7 years or so.
Yeah, we've nurtured him as well, really. He's from Montreal as well, from Canada. It would be a shame to see him leave, but I think it's going to happen, so I'm preparing for it mentally. Yeah, we've lost a lot of my favourite Raptors recently, Barn. We've lost OG, obviously Damar. We've lost plenty of others as well, so I'm used to it at this point. But
yeah, new ones will come, Tim.
But anyway, Barn, your Mavs have had a strange week, haven't they?
We've had such a weird week, mate. I closed last week's podcast by saying we had 3 must-win games and 2 that we were absolutely going to lose. And yeah, I'm a proper jinxer, Tim's. Mate, we lose to the Pelicans. We lose to the Charlotte Hornets. That was actually the most crushing one. Daniel Gafford went for 30-plus, Tims. He barely missed a shot, mate. I think he was like 11 for 13. And we still lose to the Hornets. And then we follow it up with a loss to the Timberwolves. But within that time, we've beat the Thunder twice. First time, they were minus SJ and Hartenstein, but you'd think the Thunder would have enough to do us over with no Luka, wouldn't you? Even with no SJ and no Hartenstein. And then last night, it was just Hartenstein, mate. They were almost at full strength. They just didn't have a big man in there. PJ Washington, Timms. That guy. The stat line looks lovely, but watching the game. So he was 22 points, 19 rebounds.
Wow.
Didn't write down his assist, but I think he had 4 or 5 and 3 steals as well. But on defense, those 3 steals just don't do his defensive prowess justice, Timms. God, that guy was amazing. He was just shutting down absolutely everything. SGA and Jalen Williams were both getting good shots, but they're that good offensively. There's not much you can really do about that. They were giving us some chances, Tims, but it was mainly Like, PJ was just attacking the basket. Beautiful to watch, beautiful to watch. Kyrie was his normal self. But yeah, with SGA back, I thought they were going to crush us. SGA and J-Dub both went for over 30. Yeah. What's going on, Tibbs? I don't really know, mate.
Because Shea shot 12 for 25, decent night, 31 points. J-Dub, 11 for 19, 33 points. Oh, if you told me those stat lines, I would have never thought the Thunder were going to lose to your Mavs in their current state without Luka. Barnes, I've got no idea. I guess they're down a big man, and that's it. But yeah, what can you say? Crazy.
But, Tibbs, mate, we've dropped. We've dropped into the play-in spot, and we just can't afford to do that, I'm afraid. So, who have we got next? Let us have a little check. Oh, we've got the Celtics. Of course we do. I remember checking. We've got a pretty horrible run of fixtures, if I remember correctly. So we're playing the Celtics. Where are we? 25th. We're playing the Celtics tomorrow night. Oh, nice time, actually. 10:30 English time, so I might have to flick that one on.
Lovely.
Followed by the Wizards, Pelicans, Pistons. You'd hope we get at least two of those three. I just can't judge it now. And then we've got the Cavs, 76ers, Celtics, Rockets, Kings. Aye, aye. Tibbs, I'm worried, mate. I'm worried. We need to... Luka's not back for another couple of months, and we just cannot be down the bottom of that heap.
Yeah, I was going to say you can't afford to get involved in those playing scrap. But how long's Luka out for? Is it a couple months? I hope it's not that long because he's.
Tim's, I'm
you
sure
need
it's
him right now. I've got an article up now, injury update from Jay Kidd, yeah. And all he said is he's trending in the right direction, whatever that means. So
exactly,
so no concrete.
Tim's, he's not going to be back for ages, mate.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he'd give. If it's within a month, then they say it in weeks, I think, don't they? That's what I see it as.
Yeah,
it could be wrong. Could be wrong, but...
Yeah, but anyway, you're going to be without for the next couple of weeks anyway, let's assume.
Yeah, let's assume. No, scary times, Tim. Scary times, mate.
Yeah, mate, I can't really say much because I'd be worried if I was you as well. You were looking good for a top four seed not too long ago.
Yeah.
And really plummeted lately without Luka.
Yeah, I was confident, Tims. I was confident. Tims, you know what time it is, mate? I got a bit of trivia for you.
Yes, let's go.
Bit of trivia. Talking about Wemby this week, Tims, got me thinking. I knew he was going to be hot topic. There's surely got to be a point where Wemby is going to win Defensive Player of the Year and the MVP. And he wouldn't be the first to do that. So there's a couple of players who've won it in the same season. But there are five players in total who, in their career, have won both the MVP and Defensive Player of the Year. Can you name them, mate?
So, first up, I'm going to go Michael Jordan.
Well done, Tim's Michael Jordan. Now, Jordan is one of only two players to win it in the same season. 77-78, I believe. Obviously, okay. He went on that incredible run of MVPs, but that was his same season.
Okay. Now, do you know when the Defensive Player of the Year was introduced?
Oh, great shout.
Because I'm trying to go way back here and I'm not sure if it was a
Tim's,
back in the day.
You're going too far back. Jordan was the first one.
Okay, next up, I'll go Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon.
Yeah, well done, Tim's mate. You nailed them both. Both the players who won it in the same season. Out the window. Well done.
Okay, so more recently, I'll go the big fundamental, Tim Duncan.
Tim's. Tim Duncan has never won Defensive Player of the Year. Can you believe that?
Wow.
That's I know.
Crazy. That is crazy.
Isn't that really strange?
Yeah. LeBron's never won it.
Nope.
LeBron's never won it. I think Giannis has won both.
Tim's, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Well done.
Come on. Yeah. Okay. That's 3 out of 5.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Tim's, I'll be completely honest. I just had to Google whether Timmy D had ever won it because I thought, hang on, he must have won Defensive Player. But no, he really hasn't. He really hasn't.
Okay. Poor. It's getting tricky now. It's getting tricky.
So Tim. We're obviously going further back than Giannis and more recently than Hakeem.
Yeah. Okay. Shaq hasn't won both, has he?
Shaq has never won Defensive Player of the Year, Tim.
Can't imagine he has. Oh, this is getting tricky. Karl Malone?
No Karl Malone. No Defensive Player of the Year for him. So Tim's the first one. He won the MVP in 1995. Okay.
Okay.
Jordan territory. He won Defensive Player of the Year in 1992.
I really should know who this is.
With Tim's, do you want a clue?
Go on.
We've actually talked about him already, me, you, and your brother.
Have we really?
We have.
I zoned out for most of that conversation, so that's helpful.
Yeah, I was probably paying. You probably hear his voice too often.
I can't get it. Tell me what team. Come on.
San Antonio Spurs.
Oh my word, the Admiral, of course.
Yeah, the Admiral, David Robinson. Yeah, 1995 MVP.
I forget he won the MVP.
Yeah, God, that he was such a beast back in the day.
I mean, as a rookie, he was a beast, wasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely ridiculous.
Maybe the best rookie of the year ever, or certainly up there.
Yeah, it has to be or not. Has to be. He won Defensive Player in his fifth year and MVP in his eighth year. Okay, last guy on the list, Tims.
Yeah, now, and go on.
He was most NBA Most Valuable Player 2004. And
just before Steve Nash.
He was Defensive Player of the Year in 2008. Now, he actually won his MVP and Defensive Player of the Year on different teams.
I'm going to go Kevin Garnett.
Yeah, nice. The big ticket. Well done, Tims. How did you get there?
I was getting to Kevin Garnett. I completely blanked on the Admiral, David Robinson, but I think I would have got KG in the end. But yeah, I mean, what a feat to win MVP and DPOTY in the same career, let alone same year.
I know. Absolutely incredible, isn't it? Absolutely incredible. Yeah. But people are useful in different ways as well, Tims. Obviously, being that good on defense helps your case towards the MVP, I guess, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I think LeBron could have won it at some point in his year if he tried harder throughout on the defensive end. I think he was probably snubbed from that, do you think?
There was a couple of those Heat years. He definitely should have won it one of them, yeah. He definitely should have won it one of them. I can't remember who won it instead. Dwight, maybe? Nah. I think that was past Dwight's things. We'll have a little look for next week.
Yeah, but you know, I am shocked Timmy D never won both.
Yeah, same. So I googled it, Tim's, and supposedly Timmy D was never the defensive cog on his team, which I just can't imagine. Can you?
Yeah, that's crazy talk, surely.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. According to Google, he was a bit too fundamental on defense. He wasn't flashy enough on the defensive end.
The big fundamental was too fundamental. Yeah,
sums up his entire career, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm amazed he won MVP if that's the reason he didn't win Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Wemby's going to be the sixth member of that list for sure, isn't he?
Oh, 100%, 100%. Tims, you're 5 for 5 again on the trivia. Well done.
Thank you, mate.
You never cease to impress me with your
ball. Give me a few clues there, but hey, I'm excited to bring you some big trivia next week. So
I'm looking forward to it.
Anyway, Barn, on that note, obviously, Wemby has blown us away every week at the moment, and hopefully he's going to do so again in Paris in a couple of days' time. You looking out for anything else this week?
Tims, I have to keeping a close eye on both the Mavs and the Magic. I'm scared for the livelihood of both. The Mavs, mate, they just have to start winning the games they're meant to. Obviously, great that we managed to get a couple of wins against the Thunder, but I'm not praying for any more miracles like that. We just have to get those wins in, mate. We just have to get those wins in. Same as the Magic, Paolo's got to pull his finger out a bit. Obviously, you know, I think he's going to be the best player in the league for the rest of the season. I'm slightly nervous about that shout. there's time. But no, Tims, I just want the Mavs and the Magic to stop treading water and start stringing a few wins together. The Magic need to snap that losing streak, and the Mavs just have to start playing consistently and winning games they should. What are you excited for this week, Tims, apart from Wemby tomorrow?
Yeah, Wemby tomorrow, of course, is headlining it. But yeah, I'm looking forward to Banchero bouncing back with a 45-pointer sometime soon. So let's see if that's in the next week. But hey, I enjoyed this week's podcast very much. Thanks again to George for coming on. Thanks again to Beaver Leaf Dog for the intro song. And thank you to everyone for listening in. And we'll see you again next week.
Leaving work, leaving my birth.